Welcome to Kennel Talk, Episode 6. I'm your host, Matt Reed, for TazRacing.com.au. And let's welcome the star of the show, the man with all the inside knowledge, Brennan Ryan. How are you, Brennan?
Matt, hello to you. And another great week of racing. We're starting to build into some great feature events. The Breeders' Classic, as we touched on last week, we'll look at the heats from there. And plus, we're coming towards the heats of the Chain Yates Memorial Cup next Monday. So it's going to be some exciting weeks of racing coming up.
Absolutely. There's a lot happening. We're up to the 6th episode now. We started this just prior to the resumption of racing, and we now have plenty of on-track activity to talk through. And we'll start with Hobart last Thursday night. It was the 9th of July. And there are a few doubles there, starting with Wayne Williams.
Yeah, Wayne and his family, his wife, Heather, and daughter, Trudy, they're involved together in the whole operation. They've got out at Mount Direction, and they travelled all the way down to Hobart with three runners. They come away with two winners on the program, and Fernie was first up. It was a great run, running 26.28. Had a lot of merit, had nine attempts, and broke through for its first win there, had nine attempts prior for 2 seconds and 3/3. It Phillips was a great effort, and done a lot to come away to win, running 26.46. Was well priced in the market, and it deserves. They're only a small operation, and they love their dogs. They do everything by them, and to see them get a double traveling all the way from the north coming down south, it was a great result, and good, and hopefully it continues.
Good example of some of the smaller stables that operate in the state, or kennels in greyhound racing. Of course, Gary Fay had a double two, Sacred Shadow. Sacred Shadow won the invitation, and Just Browsing won the following race.
They're a dynamic duo, both dog and trainer. Gary Fay is a Hall of Fame member of the Taz Racing, of the Tasmanian Greyhound Hall of Fame, and he does a great job with his dogs. This progeny from Dens Point, they just continue to throw countless winners. They've now got a great record combined of over 215 winners to date, and Sacred Shadow and Just Browsing, they've won 21 races between them, and overall, Sacred Shadow, she's been a great performer. She won in 26.24 up to running a great race in the invitation, and all merit. She's just she's been a great versatile bitch that can do it from all distances. And Just Browsing, who was a former Tasmanian Greyhound of the Year finalist. It was great to see her bounce back to a win. And she done everything right off the red box in the 340 Masters. And she's come away to score in 1939. Started favourite, which was to be predicted coming off the red box. And, it's great to see Gary back in the winner's circle. He hasn't had runners for a while. And these two done everything right. And hopefully they continue. And no doubt Gary's got some stock coming through from some previous bitches that he's trained with some pups by Jouster and Social Sally, and hopefully they'll continue him to be training for a little while longer.
And Graham Moat had a double that many punters thought would be replicated on Monday night in Launceston, which wasn't to be, but did of course get the chocolates in Hobart with Mantha Lee and Tone Deaf.
Graham Moat, another member of the Hall of Fame. Graham's a great trainer, and these two bitches, they're both sisters. They're Basha Bale by Princess Roman. Mantha Lee is now on a winning hat-trick. She's won three races at that meeting on Thursday and ran a great performance, and it's just shaped up to be a nice commodity for Graham and his team. Tone Deaf was a great effort, running 26.04. She's going in great. It was her first win since resumption. She hasn't raced prior, apart from the show, when the shutdown commenced. But they're both big, great runners for Graham going forward. And he only has a small team, and these two will be worthy to wherever he wants to travel to. They'll certainly be well represented.
So that was Hobart last Thursday night. And we then backed up at the track on Saturday, where we had 16 heats of the Breeders' Classic. We spoke last week about the David Croswell litter, and they certainly didn't let anyone down there.
You're definitely right there. Highland Chief was one of the best examples. He was a great dog on debut when he won the in the 278 a few, a week prior, and coming into this, he was most impressive on his 4.61 debut in the qualifying trial round. Split of 5.11, 11.09, coming home running 26.03. Was allowed to get tired at his first run over the trip, official run over the trip. Granola ran him down to a margin of 1 3/4 lengths. I see him a dog, you know, Hobart's a great track that tests any greyhound out, and he's going to go forward leaps and bounds. And I see him, you know, he's going to be a great dog around Hobart, because he's just going to get more stronger over the trip, and it'll make him a better dog coming out of this series. And the Croswell Kennel, they've ended up with four runners overall into the series. They've got Highland Wonder, won a heat in 26.32. Rick Joey Small was another one that ran 26 seconds. And Vintage Fame that ran 26.14. So there's four runners for the Croswell Kennel going forward. And there were some other runners that went throughout in the Hanks. Ted Medhurst has got a nice little litter coming forward. They're very green and young. They're a Fabregas Kune litter, and a few other runners out of them. There was Berkeley, who finished second in its trial. It'll go forward. It's just lacking a bit of match practice, but it'll be interesting how it progresses. And Guesses was another one that was second in its heat. It ran a personal best of 26.50, and then going forward, Parkour won a heat in 26.29. And also there was Ted Howard's litter in the series as well, the Ando's Mac Winkley Terror litter. And they'll go forward because, you know, they've been up for a long time, but they're progressing through the ranks, and there's three good litters that are going through this series, and they're going to be exciting how they progress, you know, with age and maturity. Going forward with that, we've got Highland Tifu, who's in the third semi on Thursday. He's drawn box 5. He'll come up against, you know, a reform runner in Classy Lady, who's got a personal best of 26.12 over the distance. Winkley Casey is another runner. She's in form as well. She qualified into the series, and there's a few other debutants in it, but I mark, you know, Highland Chief going forward. I think he can progress and make it through to the final in just over Thursday week.
Well, of course, you'll have fond memories of the Launceston Breeders' Classic Series this year, where your father Pat had the first four across the line. Any tips for David Croswell to try and replicate those feat of having the first four?
Oh, look, Crossy's a master trainer. He just knows how to get them ready for the series. And look, he's placed them well. They're all individually split up, and hopefully they can qualify through. And, you know, he's going to come away with a great litter. No matter what the result is throughout the series, he's got a great litter on his hands. And I just, you know, I now know how it feels. Before we had pups coming along, we didn't know what it was like. But, you know, when you get an even bunch like this, it gives you great confidence going forward that you're going to have a handy team that races through the age-restricted races coming up.
So that was the heat on Saturday, the semis tomorrow. We will touch on the Hobart program on Thursday night a little later in the podcast, but we'll touch on Launceston and Devonport first. The Launceston meeting on Monday night the 13th and Devonport on the 14th. We saw both programs, Brennan, hit pretty hard through scratchings through the canine coronavirus, which we touched on at a little bit more length last week. It would seem that that's something, at least in the sort of perhaps short to medium term, that we're going to just have to deal with down here in Tasmania as far as field sizes go.
It's going to take an effect for a little while, and most of the major kennels have had to force into quarantine for 14 days. And we are going to see it, you know, a decimate in numbers racing-wise. You'll see it, as we'll talk about a little bit later on, with the heats of the Shane Nash Memorial Cup, which will be held this coming Monday. There's only two heats, which is understandable with the numbers around. But, yeah, it's going to be a... And plus, with the Breeders' Classic on, a lot of the juvenile dogs are locked up in that series as well. So, there's, you know, we're under short numbers, and Devonport has actually called for nominations once again. They struggled to only pull together 6 races on Tuesday, and they could be under short numbers again. But this is what we're going to have to go through, and we've just got to, you know, be cautious about it. And it's going to be in effect, but we should come through the other side of it.
Yeah, it's certainly unfortunate, but after having 2.5 months with no racing at all, we'll certainly take this as the lesser of those two evils. We look at Launceston on Monday night in the smaller fields. It was a program dominated by some short favourites. Rivergum George in race 3 was one of those, winning over the 2.78 at $1.40.
Yeah, well, the decimeter scratchings have got down to a field of five, and look, this is where he needed to break through. And I'm especially, you know, noting this win for Ingrid Watkins. Ingrid is, you know, a great member of the racing industry here in Tasmania. She's a club secretary up at the Devonport Club there, and you know, she doesn't have many dogs in her name. She does it in, you know, the training in partnership with her husband, Michael Sheriff. So, you know, to see her get a win like this is good. And you know, this dog, he hasn't bolted in his last three starts. He's run second in all three of them. And coming forward, he'll be a nice runner just to play around with. And I know Ingrid doesn't have great expectations, but it's good to see her train a winner.
And Dashing George beat some good performers to win a Grade 5 over 515 metres a little bit later in the program.
He stepped up, you know, to the 515 for the first time, and it was great to see him come out and get a win like this. He done everything right on merit, coming in to run away in 30.07, won by two lengths, and, you know, he'd done everything right to where I think, you know, trainer Michael Pearce was expecting him to do everything. And going forward, he's giving this dog a crack at the Chain Yates Memorial Cup, which he's drawn box four, which we'll touch on shortly. But, you know, he's a dog that I've always seen a lot of interest in his early starts. And, you know, the Pearces will place him well, and hopefully he'll go on to good things.
So that was Launceston, where we had 10 races. We touched on it a moment ago, but I guess an abbreviated card at Devonport that only had the 6 races, but there was quite a bit of quality again in the smaller fields. There were a few shorties, and Witherspoon and Windburn Lethal were a pair who both got the job done for punters who like to play the pointy end of the market, winning race 4 and race 5 respectively.
Witherspoon hasn't missed a place for trainer Ricky Martin. He's been in great form in his last 5 runs, and he was 3rd last start to High Sky, and the great team to you know, come away with the job running 25.66, winning by just over almost 3 lengths on the line. And you know, Connections have had a great run with this guy in a double one like a Comet Litter. And you know, this dog, he's only just coming really back into his form in regards to racing, and you know, I'll get a few more wins out of him, and I hope, you know, going forward that there was a, you know, even coming from the Monday meeting, there was She's a Princess who won as well. She's a little sister, and, you know, they've been a great litter. They're just, you know, they're coming back into form, and the Martins will have a great run with them.
So that was Devonport, a review of the previous week's racing there. We look ahead now to the Hobart program on Thursday night, where we do have a full 10 races. You mentioned there Breeders' Classic semi-finals tomorrow night. I was a week out there, but we do have some quality young stars in action. Who are you looking forward to seeing, or who do you think are a couple that we might be able to back with some confidence on Thursday night, Brennan?
Look, I see going forward that Jennifer Alice for Ted Midhurst is a runner that'll progress. She was a... you know, she's a well-graded runner. She's got a personal best of 26.23, but I think, you know, she's a runner that'll be a good chance within the series against a class of young dogs going through. Joey Smalls in that race as well. He's drawn box one in the opening semi, and he ran well in his heat. He'll come through the ranks. I've also stuck with Highland Chief in race 5. I think he's just a great dog going forward, and you know, he, like I stated earlier, he was all credited to, you know, allowed to be tied in the run home, but he's just going to get a lot stronger over the distance. And there's a couple of runners in that race, Winkley Casey and Classy Lady in there, and Rain League was another one for Ted Medhurst, a debutant for the Fabregas Tune A litter that'll progress going forward. And just another runner that I'd like for punters to follow later on in the program. I've stuck with race number 9 and number 8 there, Broadway Express for Rod Ransley. I think for a bit of value, he should run a good race. He's drawn out wide, might be a little bit tough, but the early mark could suggest that he'll be a runner to indicate if they're looking to find a safe bet on the program. Broadway Express should be one of those chances.
So Hobart, 16th of July from you, Brennan. We've got race 3, number 3, Jennifer Alice. Race 5, number 5, Highland Chief. And race 9, number 8, Broadway Express. There isn't a market available, but if there was an anti-post market for the Hobart Breeders' Classic final, and you could pick one dog at this stage that you think might be taking out the title, I'll put you on the spot there. Who would you be taking?
I'm going to stick with Highland Chief. I can't go away from him. He's just a great dog. He's progressing early speed. He was the fourth fastest early sectional split with 5.11 of the first mark. Hobart's a track that's going to make him a lot tougher. And, you know, in Croswell's hands, he's just going to progress. He's got good box manners, does everything right. And I think he's going to be a greyhound that's going to come away with the coveted trophy next in Thursday week.
All right, Highland Chief, we're keeping an eye on exciting times at the moment with plenty of feature races here. You mentioned the Shane Yates Cup, the Memorial Heats in Launceston. This coming Monday night, we've got two heats there. They're races 6 and 7 on the program. You've aimed your team of dogs or some of your dogs at these heats, Brennan, and we see a few of them step out on Monday night.
Handsome Prince is got the he's got the coveted red box in the first heat, which is race number 6. You know, we took the decision to keep them away from racing when the virus, the canine coronavirus, had stepped up, and in result of that, we've just done the right thing in touch with them, and they haven't contracted any of the symptoms. And Handsome Prince had a trial at Launceston last week, clocking around 24. I think it was around 24:43 or something like that in a line-to-line trial, which is just simply airborne. And he's in great stead, and he loves an inside. He loves being drawn down towards the rail, and box one is just right up his alley. He'll be the short price favourite in the race. Dashing George is another dog, you know, who stepped up last week. He'll come up into grade. Ava Wine is the Breeders' Classic winner out of there, and Like a Prayer, who's been around in group finals, she's a bitch that I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't leave out of equation. She was a good second there last week, and I think she's going to run right into it. There's only two heats, so as long as they run within the first four, they're going to qualify going through. And then we've got the second heat, which sees a bit of a wide open affair, but She's a Princess comes into it off a win and running 29.96 last week for Ricky Martin. She'll be right in the thick of it. Tabage Victor is a dog who had to work really hard to win in his last start there. He's got his a big offence of his last three starts on end, and he'll be a good dog going forward. And Winburn Lethal come off a great run at Devonport on Tuesday. She'll be shaping up right into it. So there's a good mix of nice Tasbred dogs. You know, despite the numbers, there's still a good mix of good quality dogs there coming through for the series.
And of course, the prize money associated with winning a feature race like the Shane Yates Memorial would be outstanding. But this is, of course, the inaugural version of the name in the late Shane Yates honour, and I'd imagine not only for yourself but a number of other trainers too, it'd be a real honour to take out the first instalment.
Shane, you know, was closely connected to a lot of trainers. He'd spoken to him, right, you know, writing stories, and not only that, when he started through as a race caller, he was closely connected to a lot of people. And I think, you know, there's a lot of pride in nominating for this series, and to have a race in Shane's honour, I think hopefully this, not only just the greyhound industry, but the state gets behind it and supports it, because, you know, it honours and gives a great tribute to a bloke who gave a lot in contribution to, you know, not only in racing in general, but in sports in Tasmania. It's a, you know, a fitting way to, you know, to represent Shane's honour, and hopefully he always loved a thrilling finish, and hopefully it's a good field going forward on the 27th for the final, and hopefully it's a great result. Whoever comes away with the money, which is 10,000 to the winner, which is just a great prize, and, you know, hopefully his family will be able to be there in attendance, and we can honour Shane in the best way possible.
Really well said. Well, we'll get the summary of the Shane Yates Memorial Heats on next week's Kennel Talk podcast. Brennan, as always, really appreciate your insight and knowledge of the industry, and we'll see what the week brings us, and we'll do it all again next week.
Mate, it's been a great pleasure to talk with you, Matt, and plenty of interest going forward, and looking forward to the next week with the final coming up.